All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again this morning. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on our time together. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. You'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us again be faithful to you and bring glory to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's, I think we'll just open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk about the Lord's Prayer here. I just want to bring this in. It's let me see. We'll just start with verse 8 here. It says, "So do not be like them." And here when he's talking about do not be like them, he's talking about the hypocrites that love to pray and love to be seen praying. The first part of the verses talk about they love to be seen giving, and just they're doing things so that others will see them doing them. The first part of the prayer is do not be like them. And that is something, you know, that almost shouldn't be have to be said. You know, if we're doing things from our heart, we shouldn't have to be reminded of that. But oftentimes we do. We do things, you know, we calculate the things we do sometimes, whether anyone will notice or not. And that's something that shouldn't even factor into what we do. You know, a lot of times we're worried about what other people, you know, are thinking or whatever. You know, sometimes we think about, we just calculate sometimes instead of just being what's right. You know, true virtue, that's one of the things I've been thinking about, is just virtue, is just analyzing things, not what it will do for me, but it's doing what's pure. It's doing what's right. It's acting from not how it will affect me, but how it's the right thing to do. You know what? We get so caught up in things and we lose track of other people. We make our decisions based on what's right for me, or what's right for my family, or what's right for whatever. But that's not what we should be basing. That should be our first thought, should be about what God would want when we make our decisions. Thy will be done. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, if we present our petitions before God and we ask for his will be done, and that's first and foremost. And that's where the battle lies a lot of times in our prayer. We'll get to that when we get down a little further in the prayer, but thy will be done. You know, it's easy for us to say that, but for us to actually say, for something to actually affect our will when we make a decision, and that's not about me, but it's me surrendering my will so that it is truly God's will. Pray then in this way, says our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, that recognition that our Father is in heaven, he's in control of all things, and that his name be holy. I mean, his name be hallowed be thy name. And not just words of a name that we should never speak, or that, but that in our lives, that what is sacred, what is holy, and what is right is hallowed. It's special. And that's, you know, we get it so easy for us just to say these things and to and they become meaningless. But for him to be truly reverenced, for God to be reverenced, you know, it's so easy for us to learn the right things to say, but for God's way and God's will to be reverenced, that's the prayer. And in praying this, it's not just saying these words. Jesus is breaking down how the heart of our prayer should be, so that when we come to God, we're coming to one who is in truly in control of all things. He's given men the opportunity to make their own decisions, and he's looking for someone that will take those decisions and say, hallowed be thy name. Then it says, your kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, whenever we talk about his kingdom, on this earth, you know, Jesus said, you know, John the Baptist said that the kingdom of God is near. And when we talk about that kingdom, you know, we spend so much time trying to create that kingdom on this earth. And while the kingdom is in this earth, the purpose of that kingdom is not to create this earth into the kingdom. The purpose of the kingdom of God is for a people to be living out the kingdom of God, having God first, others, and then myself. Having his will be done. Having the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, those things that we talk about so often. Living right here in the midst of this world. And it doesn't matter how much the kingdom or the world is trying to portray or trying to put out the kingdom of God. It's just simply a parallel. And the true kingdom of God in this earth will never fit with the world. No matter how much the political winds may line up with what seems to be the kingdom of God, it can never be apart. They're never on the same page. They're two different worlds. They're two different spirits. It's God's kingdom. So whenever we think, when we say this prayer, we pray this prayer, is not thy kingdom come. It's not, Lord, line up all the things in this world so that they look like your kingdom. That's not what the prayer is about. Prayer is thy kingdom come. Lord, we pray for a day when we go to be with you and we actually become a part of your kingdom. We can have a taste of that right now. And that's what the church is supposed to be. People who are living out the kingdom of God in this world. And it's so easy for us to get caught up into having, praying, thy kingdom come. And the real hope is that, man, I hope the stars align and this kingdom gets in line with God. Or this kingdom, it just, everything goes right. And then we can have the kingdom of God on the earth. I don't care how right the politicians are in this world. They'll never line up. It'll never bring the kingdom of God into being. You know, the Bible talks about that. There'll be someone that says, yeah, we'll line up the kingdom of God. And they called him the Antichrist. And I'm not saying anybody is the Antichrist or not. I'm just saying that's what the world is looking for. Somebody to say, this is the kingdom of God. Finally, come to this earth. The kingdom of God came to this earth one time. And all the kings of the earth and all the people of the earth rose up and had him put to death. Next time he comes, it won't be because somebody voted him in. The next time he comes, he'll split the skies. And all the kings of the earth and all the people of the earth will be running for the hills for a place to hide. So when we pray this prayer, I mean, we can say these prayers. The whole world says these prayers. But what's the heart behind these prayers that they're praying? You know, we want to set up our lives to where we got everything. You know, we got family, we got our farm, we got our home, we got everything just the way we want to. Because we're setting up our own little kingdom here. And we want all the things that affect our little kingdom just to be so-so. And so we pray, thy kingdom come, just so I can have everything that I want. You know, when we look back through history at the early church and the people that followed Jesus, they weren't very well liked. They were crucified. They were killed. They were shamed. It cost them everything to follow Jesus. Sometimes even their own life. But you know, they were glad to give it. They were glad to lay down their lives because their kingdom wasn't here. They weren't building their lives here. Their kingdom was somewhere else. And so when their kingdom got took away here, their kingdom got stolen, whatever, their kingdom got just taken completely from them, their family sometimes, was because their heart wasn't here, wasn't where their heart was. Your kingdom come. You see, that takes us completely out of it, doesn't it? You know, so what? If we get cheated a little here and there, we don't have to have everything fair, unless this is our kingdom. Then we need justice. Thy kingdom come. Not my kingdom, not the world's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. looked up a song this morning. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. You know, the Bible tells us to be pilgrims and strangers. It says that it talked about the people of old, before there was ever even a Jewish government. It talked about these people, and they were looking for a kingdom. And they were pilgrims and strangers on this earth. Your kingdom come. That being a pilgrim and stranger, you know, of course we like to see when things are going right and this kingdom starts lining up with some of the principles that we appreciate. But we're just trying to patch an old filthy, rotten thing that's going to die anyway. It doesn't really matter if this world, just a nation, just rises up and it's just a city on a hill of freedom and democracy and prosperity. The last time I noticed, those things were not the best thing for virtue. You know, it takes some adversity to help you grow, to strengthen you. Prosperity has never been the friend to godliness. That's why. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, no matter how good the kingdom is, they're still going to have armies, and they're going to still have to send people out to kill bad guys. That is not the kingdom of God. That's the heart of why the early Christians, you know, they observed it. They saw what was going on, but they weren't a part of it. Because they weren't trying to patch up. They were not trying to. You know, the Jewish people, you know what they were doing whenever Jesus came? They were looking for a king to patch up this filthy world. So that the Jewish nation could prosper and be what it's supposed to be. And who was it that killed the real king? He wasn't what they thought he was. They were looking for a king to fix things. Our king has already fixed them. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We get so caught up in, well, I just got to get my place paid for. I just got to do all this. And so any little thing that comes along that upsets that, it just blows us up. We're stressed out. We're nervous. We just can't take it. We got a little too much emphasis on building my kingdom instead of thy kingdom. Your will be done. And it does say, yeah, on earth. But that on earth is not for the whole world, to convert the whole world to bring God's kingdom here. It's on earth is that little part, that little strange, weird bunch of people that are living God's kingdom. It's called the church. No man told me this week, well, you know, I don't go to church. Maybe I should. I don't know. You know, it's just I don't really have to go to church. It's not even about attending a meeting every week. It's about a group of people that are living the kingdom of God right now. That are looking out for the least among us right now. It's so easy for us just to get caught up in making sure me and mine are good. What that leads to is I don't really need anybody else. They're not quite up to my level anyway, and so we wind up even right here sometimes living like we just as well live in the middle of Kentucky on a mountain all by ourselves. Because I don't really need anybody. I've got it pretty good. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is loving and working with people that are not perfect. Being a part of, that's thy kingdom come, thy on earth. On earth is the church of God. A stranger here in the earth, but just with a little light, hoping that it might draw somebody else to it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us this day what we need. You know, we live in a time, it's just pretty, you know, used to, people would spend half, even early, I mean used to, a long time ago, that's all people did was work just to give them a little shelter and a little food to eat. Even in hard times in this country, they said that food maybe cost 50% of what they made. And now we complain if it goes up just a little bit because it's busting into 10% of what we make. Those things do not... It's not the soil for the kingdom of God. You know, all through history, people were in slavery. And they cried out to God, and God set them free, and He gave them freedom. And that freedom brought on prosperity. The prosperity brought on complacency. And complacency brings in slavery. You know, we say, well, that's why we need to get involved in politics. That's why we need to vote. That's because we don't want to be complacent. Well, that is not where it's at. The complacency is in our own heart, not worried about the kingdom of God. Your will be done. You know, like I said, we pray this prayer. There's thousands of people all over the world that say this prayer. This morning, it's being recited all over the place. There's not very many people that's willing to just present their body as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, Thy will be done with my life. You get that part lined up with God. And you can pray. You get that part lined up. And it doesn't matter what happens to us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. You know, we talk about this all the time. Forgive us our debts. We are going to be judged by the way we forgive others. Well, they did me wrong. It's not fair. So we're persecuted. And we still just think, well, they still owe me. We're going to be judged by the way we judged others. You know, somebody doesn't measure up, and we're quick to point it out and just say, oh, their shortcomings, and we want to talk about them. We tell people about everybody's shortcomings. And we're not realizing that we're going to be judged by the way we judge. You know, that's if everyone just minded their own business. When I say minded, I mean you just take care of your own business. We're so busy worried about taking care of everybody else's business, and we think we're accomplishing something, and our business has fallen plumb apart. But boy, it looks like we're really doing something. That's where it talks about, you know, if your neighbor sees, you know, if you do these things like you talked about, don't be like them. We're worried about everybody else. And instead of, you know, lining up with the kingdom of God is just being what we're supposed to be on our own. And that'll be a magnet to draw us together. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Read some more of this song here. I'm a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassador to be of realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my king. At best, we are ambassadors in this world for our king. An ambassador goes to a foreign country and lives there and abides by their rules, but it is not his kingdom. This is the message that I bring, a message angels would fain sing. You know, if the angels could tell us what for right now, what would their message be? Get lined up with that kingdom. The Bible says this world is going to melt with fervent heat and everything in it. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. O be ye reconciled, thus saith my Lord and King. Oh, be ye reconciled to God. Reconciled. My will out the window, line up with His will. That's where salvation is. That's where it all is lined up. Thy will be done. I present my body a living sacrifice. You do your will. You have your way. You do your will with it. This is the King's command, that all men everywhere repent and turn away from sin's seductive snare, that all who will obey with Him shall reign for aye, and that my business, and that's my business for my King. My home is brighter far than Sharon's rosy plain, eternal life and joy throughout its vast domain. My sovereign bids me tell how mortals there will dwell, and that is my business for my King. I'm a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. We forget that. We get caught up and entangled. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Praise the Lord.
Thanks for bringing that up about the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11. It really came to my mind that particular verse as well. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. There's this thought here in the Amplified Bible. They saw these promises a great distance away by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. Now those people who talk as they did, they didn't say such things, show plainly that they are in search of the fatherland.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought about that this week. How plainly are we declaring that we are strangers of going, that we seek a country?
Amen.
If they had been thinking with homesick remembrance of that country from which they were emigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. Mm. You know how it is for us. We find constant opportunity to return.
Amen.
But the truth is that they were yearning for, aspiring to a better and more desirable country. That is the heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The thought on keeping the kingdom of God the center focus seems to be one of the hardest things for me. It's just getting back to my focus in life and figuring out what that means. There's lots of distractions that we can allow.
Amen.
Singing Mount Vernon today, and then a little group will go singing at Aurora, and a little group will go to Mount Vernon.
Okay. All right. Well, God bless y'all. Part peace. God be with you. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening. Lord willing.